And now the game where we ask famous people about infamous things. It's called Not My Job. 30 years ago, an actor in Los Angeles was doing sketch comedy and came up with a bizarre character with a tight gray suit, little red tie, and slick back hair. And America met Pee-wee Herman. Paul Rubens just brought Pee-wee back to Broadway this year, and an HBO special based on that show will be broadcast next week. Paul Rubens, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you. So I was going to do this, but I want you to. Let's say an alien came to Earth and had never heard of Pee-wee Herman. How would you describe him?
Oh, wow. Well, you described him as bizarre. I wouldn't describe him as bizarre. I would just say he was a cool guy with a red bow tie.
There you go. He is. I know the origin, or at least I heard the origin of Pee-wee, was you were doing sketch comedy with the Groundlings in L.A., and you guys were coming up with characters. Can you tell us about the day Pee-wee appeared?
Yes, we were doing what we called an extended improv, which would mean that instead of a 5-minute scene, it would oftentimes be a 30-minute scene. And we were all supposed to be characters that you would see at a comedy club, performers at a comedy club. And
right.
I'm so bad with jokes. I can never remember the punchline, or I can only remember the punchline. I can't remember the setup. So I just thought I would be the comic that would never make it, that you could tell right off the bat, oh, this guy is never going to be successful.
during the time of Pee-wee's Playhouse back in the 90s and the movies, we understand that, like, you had plans to create a Pee-wee empire, like to make a Pee-wee cereal?
Yes, there was going to be Pee-wee Land. There was going to be... I actually talked Purina, the Purina company, into doing my cereal, and it was going to be the first time that they ever allowed the checkerboard to be put on something that other than pet food.
Oh, really?
And so my cereal was going to be called Pee-wee Chow, and it was going to have the checkerboard on it. And the commercial for it was going to be a 1950s mom pouring a bowl and putting it on the floor and kids, like, crawling up and eating it.
And why didn't you go ahead with this? This would have been great.
Oh, believe me, it wasn't my choice. I'm heartbroken about it, especially when I hear everybody laughing at it, because I thought it was such a great commercial.
It's fabulous.
Paul, what would it have tasted like?
Oh, you know what? It tasted exactly like Trix. Which was my favorite cereal when I was a kid.
Sure.
But it turned out kids didn't like it. They wanted a sweeter cereal.
Did you serve it to them on the floor, though, and encourage them to crawl up to it? Because any kid worth his salt would love that.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. But it turned out that I wasn't involved in the taste testing portion of it. And I doubt if that's what happened. I think they probably just, you know, get a bunch of kids and pour bowls of cereal, and they all must have just gone like, ugh, what the hell is this?
And you said that you had plans for a Pee-wee Land, like a Pee-wee-themed theme park?
Yeah, you know, I used to, when I was doing interviews, I would always try to slip one non-factual thing in there. That's non-factual as in lie.
Yes.
And I would always just lie about one thing. And one time I was in the middle of an interview, and I heard myself say, the guy said, what are you doing next? And I said, I'm building Pee-wee Land. And it got printed, and then I started getting questions about it, and then I got an investor. Somebody contacted me who built malls and said they'd like to build Pee-wee Land, and I can't actually remember what happened, other than I know Pee-wee Land was never built. I remember that.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd all be there right now, I would assume.
Well, at least I would be there probably with, like, a lot of, like, unsold tickets.
So I want to talk about Pee-wee's Playhouse. Pee-wee's Playhouse, which you started in the 80s and went into the 90s, was like the coolest, weirdest kids' TV program that adults enjoyed. Did you ever say to yourself, or did anybody ever say to you, you know, the show needs to have a theme or give kids lessons or teach them things?
Well, we did have themes, and we did have lessons, and we did teach people things. I'm not sure if you were saying, like, how come we didn't do any of that, or if you were...
Well, I mean, I one of the things I loved about it was there didn't seem to be an attempt to teach children anything other than they should just really enjoy themselves all day and then eat ice cream. That seemed to be the lesson that I am able to get from any... episode.
I think you should go back and rewatch some of those.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, what did I miss?
What was the most important lesson?
Yeah.
Well, You know, there's only 50 episodes. You could go and find that out yourself.
I want you to know, Paul, I own the whole run on DVD.
No, but there were lessons like on being polite, on being clean. And part, that was also kind of part of the joke also.
I mean, Sesame Street was already in play when my show was on. And it did a lot of that. And I always wanted to have an educational show, but I felt like I wasn't going to compete with Sesame Street. I could do something different than Sesame Street and be way more relaxed and way more crazy and teach things and teach morality and different lessons, but sort of wrap it in way zanier, sort of hide it a little bit, like more like it was just pure entertainment, even though I always felt like we had like a lot of stuff in there in every episode, or at least a few things that were kind of either the golden rule or a lesson.
When people come to you, because I know the people who watch the show as kids are now adults, they come to you. In fact, many of them I think went to your Broadway show to see it in live. What do they say to you? Do they say, "Oh, your show taught me, and your show is the inspired me to"? What kind of responses do you get?
No, they don't say any of that.
Really? Really?
I guess that proves you were right. You know, my impression was most of the people who watched my show were so high that like they would.
That's the other theory.
Yeah, I mean that's probably why you don't remember.
Well, Paul Rubens, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Is there another Pee-wee in the house?
So you are perhaps the world's most famous Pee-wee, but you are far from the first or last Pee-wee. We're going to ask you about three other Pee-wees. Get two
right,
you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Paul Rubens playing for?
Paul is playing for Charles Spolyar of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, first up, Pee-wee football. That's, of course, the generic name for the many youth football leagues out there, and there are many different kinds. For example, today's young aspiring football player could join which of these leagues? A, the Snoop Youth Football League. That's a league organized and sponsored by famed rapper Snoop Dogg. B, Peace Football, in which players are prevented from tackling, blocking, or even touching each other. Or C, Video Youth Football, in which kids are divided into teams for organized tournaments of the Madden football video game.
What was B? I forgot. I didn't hear B.
B was Peace Football, in which the players are forbidden from contacting each other.
I'm going to go with A.
Snoop Youth Football League?
Yep.
You're right. Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg the rapper. He created the football league to benefit the kids in Central L.A. Very good.
I know all about it. He's a really close friend of mine.
Is he really?
Not really.
Okay. I was going to believe that. I wanted you to know. Next up, Dave Pee-wee Herman. He's a mixed martial arts fighter named after, well, you, actually. He says he prepared, Pee-wee Herman did, for his early big fight against Mario Rinaldi. How? Was it A, he watched the original Rocky movie 16 times? B, he spent all day eating raw steaks and playing beer pong? Or C, he punched bricks for 8 hours a day for a solid week?
You know, I almost think that that's probably the real answer, but I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A? He watched the original Rocky 16 times for inspiration?
Yes.
I'm afraid it was B. He spent all day eating raw steaks and playing beer pong.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know. He says he didn't. He says he didn't mean for the steaks to be raw, but it was dark when he was grilling, and he just did it that way.
Well, I'm going to, as soon as I hang up the phone, I'm going to go watch Rocky 16.
There you are. Were you aware that there's a successful mixed martial arts fighter who goes by the name Pee-wee Herman?
Absolutely. I'm really good friends with him.
There you go. Well, this is very exciting. It comes down to the last question. There is a children's book character out there named Pee-wee. Is it A, Pee-wee the Kiwi? He teaches Australian kids about their neighbors to the east. B, Pee-wee the intestinal bacteria, who leads kids on tours of the magical human body. Or C, Pee-wee the worm, star of Pee-wee and the Magical Compost Heap.
Oh.
Wow. Those all sound so enjoyable.
They do. They would be.
They all sound like they would scar young people, as a matter of fact. But I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, Pee-wee the Kiwi?
Yes.
It rhymes. I'll say that for it.
Are you helping me? Wow. C.
Yes, it's C. Thank you. Pee-wee the Worm. He's in several books, all of them about composting. Carl, how did Paul Rubens do in our quiz?
Paul had two correct answers, Peter, and so he wins for Charles Spolyar.
That's well done. Paul Rubens is the star of the Pee-wee Herman Show on Broadway. It premieres Saturday, March 19th on HBO. Paul Rubens, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was really fun.
Bye-bye, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Bye.